If you ever wanted to start your own podcast, if you ever had a thought in your head and you just felt the entire world needed an opportunity to hear your thoughts and all that kind of great stuff, well, if so, let me tell you a little bit about Anchor Podcasting. It is the easiest platform I have found to make a podcast. They have editing tools, episode creation tools. There's even a green room function. Check it all out. On top of that, they even distribute the whole thing for you for free. The entire thing is free. You can get onto Apple Podcasts. You can get onto Spotify Podcasts, which are, you know, the two that I find get the most traction. And then you get Stitcher and all kinds of other stuff, Black Box, What Box, and all the other boxes that I'm not familiar with. If you are interested in making your own podcast right now, download the Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Ghost Club Magazine podcast. I'm your host, OJ. Hi. And in today's episode, Keithy talks with Mike from Yob all about being back on the road after, you know, an extended vacation. Like everybody else had for the last couple of years. Enjoy the chat.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. Great to talk to you. Great to see you on the road just recently. A few days before we are chatting now, I saw you guys at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco. Phenomenal show. Yob, True Widow, and Broom. Phenomenal, phenomenal show. I know True Widow is on the tour, but what a treat also to have Broom as the openers, because they're so great.
Yeah, they really are. I enjoyed their set tremendously. They're just such good folks. I've known Jackie for a long time, and they just leveled. They have a really amazing sense of dynamics. It's fun to watch them.
Indeed, they slay. And I also am a Jackie O-file. I have followed her entire career, possibly to an obsessive level as a fan, let alone in the journalistic style. So I've been lucky to see, like your band, I've been lucky to see your band on multiple continents and many times. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful to see live music right now. It's been such a tough couple of years. I hope you're feeling well. I hope the band is good. I know Travis is off the road, but just in general, I hope everybody is in your circle is good right now, because it's been so hard.
Yeah, we're all doing good. And it's, you know, there's certainly been lots of challenges, I think, for everybody, and some worse than others, but it's certainly been a, you know, a collective mind job, and we're trying to all get back into it. And, you know, we're feeling really positive, and certainly it seems to be reflected in the people that are coming out, and we really have no complaints. Everybody's good.
Awesome. So glad to hear it. And of course, you guys slayed. The show was phenomenal. Like I said, I can't say enough. I think it was quite a long set, at least to my recollection. You know, there really are no short Yob songs anyway. So, you know, it's a patience game, but a very rewarding time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, before everything kind of, you know, all the tours were canceled, we would have been still touring, you know, Our Raw Heart. And so, you know, over 2 years later, getting back into it, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we're making up the shows that we missed, but normally we wouldn't be really out. We'd be focusing a lot more on writing music but this just seems like a good time to do it. And especially with the Altma remix and remaster coming out, it just, it's a lot of fun to I guess not only to play, but just kind of pay homage to that record too. And, you know, we're playing the long sets in part because, I mean, I don't know when we're going to be back out. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be a long, long time, but, you know, we need to make some new music. And being out on the road is incredibly inspiring for that, not just to play music and get things going as a band that's showing up somewhere every day to play, but also just to see other bands and see what they're doing from the crowd. It's just very inspiring.
Right on. And, you know, of course, I'm always a big proponent of saying, like, as much as I, you know, like, you know, first of all, good art can't be rushed. And, you know, certainly as much as I love Our Raw Heart, you know, certainly people are like, oh, I love this so much. When is the next one? That's a fan, obsessive fan take, right? But I feel like you have to live. You have to have life in between poles of records, right? In between the creating these works of music and art, you need to take the time to live so you have experience to pour into the next thing, whatever that is.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's some people that are, you know, it seems like they're just highly prolific and they're able just to kind of dip into this well within themselves and pour music out. You know, I've had certainly chunks of time in my life where I've been like that. And, you know, I would say the last few years, it's been a little bit slower for me, but, you know, I'm not complaining. It's like you said, it's, you know, when, like what you're saying, when someone says, hey, when's the next record, you know, what they're saying is, when is the next record that reflects why I love you guys so much and that is a new thing. And yeah, that does take time. For me, it does. And so, you know, it's no rush to try to just get something out there to keep touring, because that's, for one, that's not how we're wired. And two, you know, I think that's probably not going to be satisfying, you know, to us or to other people.
Right on. I'm not trying to bag on the fans, because I'm also a fan.
Oh, no, no.
You know, I'm saying, like, I think the passion for your music. Yeah. Yeah, the passion for your music is where I think that centers, and not like impatience or unfairness. Listen, records take the time they take. We just had 2 years. You could blot out the whole world. If you weren't inspired the last couple of years to talk about anything, I would understand, because it was a brutal time. A lot of people, I lost some friends. I'm sure you lost some friends. It was rough out there. And the whole world is going through like a crazy psychotic break. And as we're just coming out of it, now we have world war. You know, I often joke about like all the things. You and I had a whole conversation about black and death metal the last time we talked. And I was like, oh, remember all those things we predicted? Famine and plague and horrors of war. Here we are. Here it is again. So, you know, we have something that, you know, now we can find some inspiration. But, you know, a lot of people couldn't work the last couple of years. They didn't feel passionate or creative. And I fully understand that, if you just, everybody was kind of in a holding pattern, you know?
Yeah. Myself included. You know, it wasn't that I didn't play or with riffs. There just isn't the glue that makes it into music quite yet, you know? So it's just, but, you know, I feel it, you know, it's every time. I mean, I'm sure it's true for everybody, you know, each record has its own kind of life, and you just have to figure out where you're being moved and jump on and ride it out and see where it takes you. And, you know, for me, often it means I have to get better, because I'll hear something in my head that's out of my realm or my experience. And so I have to, you know, dig into a lot of music as a listener and do a lot of reading, take some lessons and try to build up some new skills. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Nice. Never stop learning. That's always a good way. Be thirsty and curious, right? I love that you mentioned the Atma reissue. You know, 10 years last year for Atma, and you played Atma live, and you always do, to my knowledge. But yeah, it was such a phenomenal and deep record. And it has held up. I mean, most of your stuff does, but that does seem to be the one, that and Clearing, that people seem to go back and talk to me about. So yeah, it's really great. And then, you know, just coincidentally, May 1st, I think, is the 20th anniversary of Elaborations of Carbon. So I know, you know, not that you want to get too deep in the woods and self-reflective, but, you know, you are putting down, you know, I think the 8-9 releases plus all your other work, your other bands, your solo record in 20 years. It's quite a lot of releases to me, you know, like 13, 14, 15, you know, releases total is a lot to me.
Yeah, I guess I don't really think about it, but it does sound like a lot.
Right.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's, I'm more nostalgic about other people's music than my bands. I'm very nostalgic about my friendships. So Aaron and Travis and, you know, Dave is out with us, and, you know, I still keep in touch with pretty much everybody from earlier lineups. It's just, I don't look back a lot. Occasionally I do to learn something we forgot. But yeah, I think, you know, in those early days, it was really, there was a lot of excitement in the sense that it felt like you happened on this cool thing, and it was bands and playing kind of for each other and for the handful of people that were into it, and people really pouring their hearts into it. It felt very kind of punk to me in a way, and how just kind of connected that scene was. But there wasn't like a very big audience for it. I mean, you fast forward 20 years, it's things have changed quite a bit. And in a lot of cases, you know, you go see Acid King, it's not them that changed. It was the audience that changed. You know, there's just a group of people that caught up. So when Acid King would play for 200 people, now they go travel around and play for a lot more. And there's nothing wrong with playing with 200 people. I'm playing to 200 people tonight. I'm going to play my ass off, you know. But it's just having a worldwide listenership is on a level that you just, it's a weird thing. You know, it's weird and wonderful. But I think, you know, back then it was just a handful of places where people would kind of congregate and talk about heavy riffs. And there was a lot of excitement there, a lot of excitement. And I still feel that excitement now. There's a handful of records that I'll never not listen to. And they were instructive 20 years ago. They're instructive today. And I'm really glad that, you know, that it's grown so much. And I mean, there's a lot of bands and they're all just trying to make some music happen and listen to some loud amps and get nerdy with pedals. It's amazing.
Right on. I love to nerd out. Now I have to ask, like, what are those records? I don't think I've ever asked you this question before. Like, what are those records you always return to? What are your favorite records ever?
Well, I mean, as far as like the stuff I was listening to back then, I'm referring to like in the stonerrock.com days, certainly Burning Witch, Crippled Lucifer, Cathedral, Force of Equilibrium, Soul Sacrifice, and the Ethereal Mirror. Were big deals to me. Pentagram, Relentless, and Be Forewarned, and Acid King, Busey Woods, and also really, I mean, it was a bit later, but I really like Acid King 3 quite a bit. And the Electric Wizards, Super Coven, and Come My Fanatics, and Dope Throne, Orange Goblin, Frequencies for Planet 10, Operator Generator, Polar Fleet. That's a record that not enough people talk about. I mean, if that band just showed up today in the form that they were in 15 years ago, they would just automatically be one of the best bands. They had the one record, it was one and done. But that was a spectacular band. So yeah, stuff like that.
Radical. I love that you mentioned Forest of Equilibrium. Super criminally underrated, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think I had a Terrorizer comp, Terrorizer magazine, rest in peace, for many years. But they used to come with the comp CDs on them if you could get them in America, and it was like $25. And I'm pretty sure I saved all my pennies from work. Whatever disposable money I had was to buy these magazines from Europe. And that was the first time I heard them. And I was like, oh, where has this band been all my life?
That record for me was like, to my understanding anyway, the last Napalm Death record that Lee was on was Mentally Murdered EP. And then he went to Cathedral. And I was just such a big fan of Napalm Death. And I got to say, at first, I didn't really get it. Like when I first heard Force of Equilibrium, it was weird because I was certainly into the bands that they were kind of referencing, like, you know, obviously Black Sabbath, but also Trouble and Candlemass, but I just didn't understand their take on it. And it wasn't until I saw them in 92 and they blew me away, and it just was a permanently changed the riffs I wanted to write.
Nice. You know, as I said, the live show is a thing. You guys are out on tour, and as much as I always return to the records, and I'm sure the fans do, I love to see you guys live, and I love watching you perform. And you're right, Dave is killing it out there. I had an interesting, fun question. I posted a picture of you. I was like off to the side and behind you a little bit, and somebody in our Ghost Cult socials was like, interesting, you know, like, I've never seen Yob, and it's interesting to see Mike stand kind of like parallel to his amps. So like, I know you've always sing, and then you jump out and you kind of riff and jam and solo kind of in front of your amps. But yeah, I it was funny that somebody saw the photo of me kind of behind you. So I have you at the mic with your pedals in front of you. And then kind of like that angle made it look like you were definitely like facing inward to the stage instead of out to the crowd. So I think it would pique the interesting. Have you always done that? Is that something that you developed with Yob as a frontman, or is that something you've always done?
I mean, I think in the earliest, early days, maybe I didn't do that, but probably for 20 years I have. I've just always faced the band. And so it's almost like it's a jam room thing. But, you know, some of our hits and the way that we play and some of the weird lags and timing, you know, I keep the drums just, you know, I watch them out of the left side of my eye, or out of my left eye, I should say. And so I kind of am tracking drums and, you know, we're performing together and then we're sharing that with an audience. And so that's kind of what it feels like. And it's, you know, as far as my having my back to drums, I've just never felt very comfortable with that.
Right. It does feel like a very communal performance then also, because, you know, it's kind of like you guys are all kind of not tuning each other out, but tuned into each other, which is awesome.
Yeah. It's just, you know, that's exactly it. You know, it's just how we, you know, we generate our energy on stage. And that's right.
Right on. I just have a couple more for you, man, and then I'll give you back your evening. You've been terrific as always. I really appreciate it. So, you know, like you said, who knows what the future holds, but hopefully more touring. I imagine you have some riffs and ideas ready for the next record, but, you know, I guess we should say we probably shouldn't presume there will be a new album before next year.
You know, I mean, I can't really say, you know, I mean, these things take so long anymore. Even if we got crazily inspired and then had a new record 3 months from now, we wouldn't have vinyl from a year after that, you know? And so, you know, things are just moving so slow right now. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see if any of the bigger labels end up investing in pressing plants like they used to, you know, so that they're not bogging down things for smaller bands. But, you know, it's the world we live in. You know, I'm not really complaining. That's just a little, you know, a thought. But and it's not my thought. I heard about it from, you know, ever since Jack White did that video, that thing has circulated around quite a bit. It was a pretty cool way to talk about it, I thought. And but, you know, whatever it is, you know, these things take time. And I think realistically, we're not going to have a new record 3 months from now that we will wait a year for at a vinyl plant. So my goal is just making sure that whatever we put out there, it, you know, if it's going to be medicine for anyone else, it's got to work on us first. So we got to just, you know, be the, we're the control group.
Right on. Beautifully said. I keep my fingers crossed, and I appreciate that Jack put that message out, because people seem to really respond to him. He's always obviously a mainstream superstar rock guy, but he, you know, he, with Third Man and other things, he always seems to have like one hand in the still kind of in the underground and supporting the little guy a little. So I like that a lot. And he understands the business that like the big, it, I don't know about trickle down anything, but clearly if the bigger, you know, big three record labels in the world kind of like pull their resources a little smarter, it might have less of a burden on everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. You know, it's certainly, like you said, it started a conversation and I can't believe it hasn't gotten back to him. So it'll be interesting to see if and how it unfolds, you know.
Indeed. And then just for a last thing, I always like to ask you if you've read any good books lately, because I'm always fascinated by what you got on your mind.
You know, these days, I haven't read any fiction in a while. I've been reading mostly nonfiction, and, you know, I do a lot of, you know, books on CD and, like audio books, but lately I've been climbing pretty heavily into, Buddhism, and particularly, Dzogchen Buddhism. And there's a book by a teacher named Thinley Norbu, and that's Thinleynorbu, and the book is called White Sail, and it's a really far out and deep book that kind of talks about, you know it's largely talking about Vajrayana Buddhism, as in the Tibetan style, but it's the kind of book that's, you just have to really take your time with it. And if it's something that interests you, even if it's something that you're really passionate about, you have to take your time with it, because there's just a lot of layers of things being talked about all at the same time. But that's been the one that I've been probably dug deep into the most, but I've been also kind of hungering for some fiction. You know, I really enjoy I like reading horror novels and they're fun. And I've been thinking about branching out and climbing into, I need to reread Blood Meridian. I haven't read that in a while. And I want to jump back into that again. And that's one that actually I'm probably going to bring to Europe and read it.
Yeah, that's a great book. Fantastic job. Yeah, man. I appreciate you sharing that with us, man. And in general, just great to see you doing what you do. I really appreciate you. Phenomenal show the other night. It was definitely a gift getting this music from you guys. And, you know, just continued, you know, keep safe out there on the road. And, you know, we'll keep our heads up and our ears open, hopefully, for some new job in the next while.
Yeah, man. Well, that's, you know, it's certainly... I can't believe it's not coming. You know, it's just, it's one of those things where when I know, you'll know.
For sure. Mike, man, thanks so much for hanging out with me and Ghost Cult and our listeners. I really appreciate you. Take care and we'll see you soon.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
This has been another episode of the Ghost Cult Magazine podcast. Check us out at ghostcultmag.com and follow our socials at Ghost Cult Mag. Until the next time, peace.